In 5:30, I will start the meeting. Good evening to everybody who is with us tonight, both councillors and staff, and a warm welcome to everybody who is watching along at home. My name is Paula Reid and I'm the Mayor of Kingborough. It is my pleasure to welcome you all tonight, to those of you who are watching via YouTube. The time being just after 5:30pm, I now officially declare this meeting open. I wish to advise that council meetings are recorded and made publicly available on our website. In accordance with council's policy, I would ask the general manager to confirm that the audio recording has started.
Confirmed.
Thank you, general manager. I wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land and pay my respects to elders past and present and acknowledge today's Aboriginal community. Our attendees this evening are myself, Councillor Reid, Councillor Bastone, Councillor Cordover, Councillor Fox, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Grace, Councillor Street and Councillor Wass. From our staff this evening, we have the General Manager, Mr Arnold, the Chief Financial Officer, Mr Breen, the Director of Engineering Services, Mr Reeve, the Director of Governance, Recreation and Property Services, Mr Smee, the Director of Environment Development and Community Services, Dr Stevenson, the Manager of Environmental Services, Mr Dool, the Senior Environmental Planner, Ms Den Exter, the Bushfire Management Officer, Ms Larang, our Media and Communications Advisor, Ms Adams, and our Executive Assistant, Mrs Morton. We have apologies tonight from Councillor Midgley and the Deputy Mayor, Councillor Westwood. Now, I'll just, before we begin, our apologies in advance to anyone who's watching along at home if our technology fails us. We've done multiple tests and we've been able to do meetings via Teams before, but if something does occur, please accept our apologies in advance and be patient. We may have to go off air temporarily to fix that, but fingers crossed the technology won't let us down. So, having said that, we turn to page one, and the motion is that the minutes of the open session of Council Meeting number 25, held on the 20th of December 2021, be confirmed as a true record. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please?
I so move. Laura Fox.
Moved Councillor Fox, and seconded Councillor Gladewright. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Thank you. That is carried unanimously. Still on page one, our workshops held since the last council meeting. There was a workshop last Monday, the 10th of January, in relation to the mid-year budget review and long-term financial plan. Turning now to page two, declarations of interest. Does any councillor have a declaration of interest that they'd like to provide to the meeting? No, thank you very much. We'll move on. Still on the second page, transfer of agenda items. Is there any item on the agenda that a councillor would like to transfer from closed into open session or open into closed session? No, thank you very much. Questions without notice from the public, as we don't have a public gallery today because we're meeting online, there are no questions without notice from the public. We do have questions on notice from the public. There were two. We have a question from Mrs. Sarah Jane Fox in relation to glyphosate and an officer's response from Dr. Stevenson. And we have a question from Mr. David Bain and an officer's response from Mrs. Tyler Moore in relation to develop application for the Huntingfield slip lane. We turn now to questions without notice from councillors. Does any councillor have a question without notice? If you would like to please use the raise your hand and then I'll be able to tell who raised their hand first, apparently. And use the icon if you can would be appreciated up the top. It's the third from the left. I know you can do it. People were doing it last week. All right, well then I'm going to have to, it's very difficult for me to see them all, so I'm going to just take it as I saw it. I've seen Councillor Bastone. I've seen Councillor Gladewright. Councillor Grace, did you indicate you had a question? Yes, Councillor Grace. Councillor Wass, Is that everyone who's got questions? We'll start with that. So I'll go to Councillor Bastone first.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I have a problem with my lead-in when I press the hand button that asks me for a password. So I'll just be waving my hand.
Okay.
My questions without notice are related to the Mayor's communications.
Mm-hmm.
So on the 3rd of November, I know it's a long time ago, you met with Mr. Harry Abbott re Channel Court Shopping Centre issues. Were these to do with public law and order?
There were a range of issues, mainly in relation to his concerns around parking. There was also one in relation to a tree or a small bush that was on the Hutchins Street entrance that he believed was making sight lines for the traffic difficult.
Okay, thank you. My next one was on the 17th of November. You met with Mr. Charles Courtney, re the Kingston Performing Arts Centre.
Yes, so Mr. Courtney and Dr. Libby Robinson, the principal of Kingston High School, came along to see me. Mr. Courtney is the president of the school association, and they had sought a meeting to indicate that they had a need to replace the audiovisual items at the Performing Arts Centre, and whether council might be of a mind to make a contribution. Because it's quite a substantial overhaul, Mr. Smee and I indicated that whilst, of course, they could make a budget submission, it would be something that would probably be a significantly lower priority than some of our others for assets that we actually own, and that perhaps the Education Department might be in a position to make a contribution.
Thank you. And the last question is, on the 29th of November, you met with Traders in Purple, re-future development of the site. Is this for a next tranche of housing, or is it for the roads?
No, it's actually in relation to commercial development that they are proposing on one of the parcels of land. So they had meeting with the Premier that afternoon. I think the General Manager went along to that meeting as well. They have put a proposal to the state government in relation to the relocation of some state government offices into Kingston with the commercial space that would become available as a result of that development. And they've produced a prospectus and some information that they've provided that I've got a copy of that I can leave in the councillors' rooms for members to have a look at.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's all.
Thank you. Councillor Glaidwright.
Thank you. I've had a few community members contact me about the availability of the RAT tests. I guess they're not RAT tests, but you know what I'm talking about. When I was contacted last, the closest place to get hold of them was in Glenorchy. I'm not sure if that's... Does anyone know if that's changed since then? But anyway, if not, is there something we can do to try and get RAT tests available here in Kingborough?
So my understanding is that the tests that you're talking about are the ones that are given out for free to people who are close contacts or, I think, concession card holders. We haven't had any communications from the state government about their availability in Kingborough. It would certainly make sense to have a place, given that we're using the community hub for a vaccination centre. I would have thought there would also be room there to have that as a collection. But that's certainly something that perhaps the General Manager could follow up with the state government, because it is a significantly long way for people to travel if they're feeling unwell anyway, that they need to actually go all the way out to Glenorchy, and some don't have the capacity for transport.
Correct. So will someone be able to follow that up and let us know so we can communicate that? Or
I'm assuming that the General Manager has been nodding while I've been saying that, but as I can't see his video, I'll ask for his verbal confirmation.
Thank you, Mayor. The General Manager has been nodding.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Grace.
Look, I have three. Firstly, I may start it, if I can, Mayor, about the bus stop at Snugsy. We had such a grand cricket game with our Lordship himself over in Tasmania, Glenn McGrath. We still haven't got that bus.
Yep. The General Manager, I did follow this up after our last meeting when you raised it, and I believe that there have been some discussions with the widow of the lady that the bus shelter had been painted in honour of, as to whether they believed whether they would be amenable to having a plaque erected at the bus stop rather than painting it pink. But perhaps could I just ask the General Manager just to refresh my memory on that conversation, please?
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, those discussions were commenced by Paul Donnelly prior to his departure, and they are now being followed up by Daniel Smee.
Could I just add that I disagree with that, but a plaque is nothing. I think Kingborough, we have a lot of women with cancer, and I think we should. We've got only one shelter now, partly painted pink, and I get a lot of comments on that from the Bruny Island and people that tour. Okay, so I would like to rethink that if we can, Mayor.
Councillor Grace, we still are at the impasse with the state government. The ownership of the bus stop is still in question, and that remains the problem about painting it. It's not our infrastructure, is what they're telling us. And I know that you beg to differ about this, but we cannot go ahead and repaint it pink without their permission. And so this would seem to be, there is a substantial project underway at the moment right across the four southern councils about ownership of bus stops and what the future would look like with the ownership, whether they are all in state government hands, whether there's a third party entity that owns them, whether council takes some responsibility. So while those discussions are taking place, because there's a lot to be worked out in relation to that, because we don't necessarily want to have a huge liability for bus stops when we haven't in the past, this would seem to be a way of actually achieving an outcome at the moment to still recognise the lady who passed away and honouring her memory. And it's my understanding from what the General Manager has indicated that that the family would be amenable to that.
Okay, I won't comment further because I wasn't aware of that. The family has not come back to me regarding that, and as you know, I was very active in that as a councillor.
Yep. Thank you.
For many reasons.
Yep. You've got two other questions you indicated?
Which I could continue on forever.
You could, but it's questions without notice.
Yeah. Margate Shopping Centre, are we any further ahead as with activity, as the General Manager can enlighten us on the latest?
So I received I initiated a letter to the Kalis Group, I think it was prior to Christmas, and we received a response last week, I believe. And essentially the ball is in their court. There is a matter of a land transfer between council and the group, which has been outstanding since, I believe, 2014, 2015, and we need that to be resolved before they can move forward with their development. So the response back from the group indicated what they could do to speed this up, and the General Manager has written back and asked them to quickly resolve this land transfer so that we can move forward and they could lodge the development application. So we are trying to see that there have been long periods of time, unfortunately, in between our correspondence where there's just been silence when the ball's been in their court. So we really do hope that they move now on the land transfer, so because we know that the residents of Margate want to see this resolved.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to talk to you privately on that, not so much open on council because there's only questions, but I think it's a two-way street. I think council's at fault too, so it's just not a one-way street with that.
Thank you, Councillor Grace. That's not my understanding of it. But
Do you want me to prove you some documents? But I'm quite happy to meet you in your office to discuss further details on that if you wish.
Thank you.
Give me an email and I'll come and see.
Yep. Did you have another question? Councillor Grace, do we still have you? Because you're frozen on my screen. Can everybody else hear me or have I frozen? No? Okay. All right, we'll have to come back to Councillor Grace. Councillor Wass, I had you next.
Thank you, Mayor. Some years ago, Council commenced removal of Boobiella infestation at Blackmans Bay Beach, stopping before all the plants were removed. I note now that plant infestation is beginning to spread towards the toilet block. And I'm just wondering, what is the future intention regarding this infestation and when is the removal to be completed?
Thank you. I'm just General Manager, who would be best placed to answer this, please?
Mr. Reeve, if he's online.
Mr. Reeve, do we have you? Oh, yes.
Yes, through you, Mayor. Yes, there certainly was a project down at Blackmans Bay Beach a couple of years ago there to beautify that area there, which included removal of some of the boobiella. If there's some additional issues that are associated with it in terms of further encroachments, happy to take that on notice there and get that one investigated.
In response, Mayor, I'd just like to say, Mr. Reeve, that yes, the infestation is also home for rats and goodness knows what else, and certainly every local I've spoken to wants the removal completed as they indicated it was agreed to at that time when council started. I'm sure you'll look into it and thank you.
Thank you. Are there any further questions? Councillor Gladewright, your hand is still raised. Did you have another question? No. Okay. All right, then no further questions. I think Councillor Grace is trying to get back into the meeting. I did see that he disappeared off our screens and he did indicate that he had another question. I can't see him coming back in, so we might have to continue on. We can move backwards if Councillor Grace re-arrives, but for now we will go to page 3. Questions on notice from councillors. We had a couple of questions from Councillor Midgley. The first was in relation to the Burwood Drive pathway upgrade with an officer's response to Mr. Reeve. The second one was in relation to the Margate Hunting Field shared path with an officer's response from Mr. Reeve. Turning now to page 4, petitions still being actioned. At the time that the agenda was compiled, there were no petitions being actioned, and petitions received in the last period, at the time the agenda was compiled, no petitions had been received. We move now to page 5, officers reports to council. This matter has a recommendation on page 9. The matter is the determination of a request for consent to use council land as bushfire hazard management area at the parcel of land at 7 Goshawk Way. I need a mover and a seconder. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please?
I would move.
Thank you. Councillor Fox has moved. Do I have a seconder, please?
I will second. Councillor Bastone.
Councillor Bastone, seconded. Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I do think that the two options proposed to us are that we either consent for the proposed extension or that we refused to grant consent on the basis of the additional hazard management area is contrary to clause 6.2 and 6.5 of Council's policy number 13, establishment of bushfire management areas on council land. And the main reason for recommending refusal is that there are alternatives that can be arranged so that the BAL or bushfire area protection can be increased for the buildings themselves rather than that they have to encroach on council land. I think it's very important that we recognise the work that the National Tree Planting Day people, community members and council staff have put into this particular area of vegetation, which was done a number of years ago, and I do remember participating. But since then, the council have been nurturing and watering and maintaining those trees in a very difficult environment. It's a very steep slope. It's also very dry. They've actually come with water trucks and hand-watered those plants. And they're now just flourishing and providing some visual amenity and also natural amenity to replace other vegetation that's had to be removed in this area. So I think it's important that we stay with the existing park park agreement and that we concentrate on getting it right rather than going back to square one. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Further speakers? No, so you don't want to sum yourself up. I will put the motion then as printed on page 9. And the motion, I'll read it because we don't have the screen, that Council determined to refuse consent under the covenant on DA 2021-548 to allow a development application under the provisions of the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and the Kingborough Interim Planning Scheme 2015, generally in accordance with the plan shown in Attachment 2. It was moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to page 14, independent audit panel member, with a recommendation on page 15. The recommendation is that Paul Viney be appointed to the audit panel as an independent member for a period of 4 years. The mover in Councillor Street. Do I have a seconder, please?
I would happily second.
Thank you. Councillor Fox has seconded. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor, and you'll have to bear with me. I think my connection's a bit shaky this evening, so hopefully I get through this. We are required to appoint a new independent member of the audit panel as one of our current serving members, Mr. John Hills, unfortunately resigned from the panel to take up other responsibilities with another organisation. He was an excellent member of the panel, and I think I speak for all of the panel when I say that we're grateful for his service to us and to council. As a result of that resignation, we advertised for applications for appointment and received 5 applications. 2 of those applicants were interviewed, and Mr. Viney was the successful applicant from that interview process. He is an outstanding candidate, and I think council are very lucky to have had him apply for the role, and I wholeheartedly endorse his nomination for appointment.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Fox, do you want to add anything to that?
I wasn't a member of the interview panel, but I think the recommendations from Councillor Street summarise the situation very well, and I would also wholeheartedly recommend approval. Thank you.
Councillor Cordova has indicated he wishes to speak.
Thank you, Mayor. Just to also thank the other 5 applicants who applied, to thank John Hills for his service, and also to welcome Paul, if, as I suspect, this will pass. We wish him all the best in the new role. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm happy to go along with the recommendation, and I thank Councillor Street for the information that he forwarded to me. along with every other councillor. I'd just like to say I'm a little bit disappointed in the report because the report contained none of that information that Councillor Street just told. And in the past, the report always indicated what they were and how many there were. And yet we've got nothing. And so I just ask that maybe the General Manager can ensure in future that that the author of the reports do include that information for us.
Thank you. I'm sure the General Manager will note that. I can picture him nodding right now and writing it down in his notebook. Thank you very much. Are there any further speakers? No? If not, I take it, Councillor Street, you don't wish to sum up? No. In that case, I will put the motion that Paul Varney be appointed to the audit panel as an independent member for a period of 4 years. It was moved by Councillor Street and seconded by Councillor Fox. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Again?
Aye.
Motion is carried unanimously. We turn now to page 16. It's the release of documents policy with a recommendation on page 17 that the Council endorse the release of documents policy 3.22. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please?
I'm happy to.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. And seconded, Councillor Street. Thank you, Councillor Fox.
I think actually this is a very important document because there is often confusion about which documents are to be released and which ones are not, and it's quite a complicated situation relating to privacy and copyright, and it's explained very well in the report, and I do recommend that anybody who's interested in this issue reads the report thoroughly, as well as the policies that undermine it, fees and charges policy as well. So I just think it's timely that it's clarified to the community and to staff and to councillors what position we're in. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Cordova and then Councillor Gladright.
Thank you, Mayor. A quick question about, I was hoping that maybe the author could explain why the need to have this clarification now, what was being done previously, and will there, critically for me, will there be fewer or more things released to the public as a result of having this framework in place? Because I'm wholly in agreement with the idea that we commit to high standards of record management and also high standards of transparency for governance, but I'm just interested in knowing a bit more about the background. Why now, and were there some deficits before that have created an impetus for this? Thank you.
Thank you. Dr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mayor. Thank you for the question on Councillor Cordova. The policy reflects largely the practice that's been in place, but the practice has been challenged from time to time, and it comes up when we get requests from members of the community or members of the broader public to review planning documents past the statutory advertising period, and often they want to share them to social media, and then that would be a breach of copyright. And so we have said no in the past, but we haven't had a policy that explains why. In creating this policy, I reviewed other policies across Australia, but I also got the Ombudsman's Office to review it to make sure that we hadn't overreached when we said no.
Thank you, Dr. Stevenson. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, and I appreciate that response. That helps. A second question before my very brief contribution, if I might, Mayor, is it says at 5.9.3, a person may, on payment of a reasonable fee fixed by council, obtain a copy of any document. And I assume that the person that determines what is a reasonable fee, I assume, is the council officer in charge. Is that correct?
Dr. Stevenson.
That would be through our fees and charges policy, so we would do it through that process.
Thank you. Just to sum up my contribution, Mayor, I feel like there has been occasions that I've been aware of where people who were representors did want additional information, and in my experience, the council has been quite good about providing that. I want to make sure that there is enough discrepancy within this policy to provide people with the information that they want. I fully understand where copyright is important, where commercial and confidence is important, but I think by and large, in my experience, it's usually residents of a street who are really interested to know what's going on with a particular development that they have a personal and a very reasonable interest in. Do we have any, perhaps a way of asking the question is, do we have assurances, can I please have an assurance that with this policy passing, we will still be able to have that discretion where when residents of a street are concerned, they are able to apply and receive a fair go at being able to see the documents that they would like to see?
Dr. Stevenson.
Through you, Mayor. So the copyright provisions don't apply during the statutory advertising period, so all the same rights that they have now will still continue regardless of this policy. Post the statutory period, there may be opportunity to view the documents or particular documents, but we can't email, for example, plans because we don't have the copyright over those, and the copyright, we would be infringing copyright because it's outside the statutory advertising period. So once the council has made a decision, the representations period closed, then it tips into the copyright side of things. But the current availability in order to support representations will continue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Stevenson. Councillor Glaidwright.
Thank you. I just wanted to know if other councils have a similar policy to this in Tasmania.
Dr. Stevenson.
One of the commitments I made to the Ombudsman's Office that I would share this policy with Legat so that other councils might use it. There were no policies like this in Tasmania, but there are a number on the mainland. And apologies, I understand my sound is problematic. I'll try and figure out what's going on.
Sounds like there's a vacuum cleaner next to you.
Nothing, I don't know.
You're not multitasking, are you? Councillor Glaidwright, did you have any further questions? No, you've frozen. No, you momentarily froze. Okay. Any further contributions? I'm a little concerned we haven't got Councillor Grace back, so I don't know whether Mr. Malt might want to follow up with him about whether he can get back on because we haven't seen him. Okay, we'll move on. So the recommendation as printed on page 17 is that Council endorse the release of documents policy 3.22. It was moved by Councillor Fox and it was seconded by Councillor Street. All those in favour?
Aye.
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 Against? Motion is carried unanimously. We move now to page 24. To the sundry debt management policy with a recommendation on page 26, and the recommendation is that Council Policy 3.6 sundry debt management policy as attached to this report be adopted for a further 2 years. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? So a mover in, I think Councillor Street looked like he moved then and just bought a house at an auction from me. No, he's frozen. Look. Oh. Okay, Councillor Fox, thank you very much. Okay. And a seconder in Councillor Bastone, you just moved. Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Now that I've moved it, I didn't actually mean to, but I think it's been reviewed that we now have a better process with dealing with debts, and also if we have a $100 debt, then we've given the general manager the delegated authority to actually deal with that matter without having it to come back to council. But any debt that's over $100 comes to council, and bad debt decisions over $5,000 remain with council. So I'm a bit confused there because I read one thing in the policy and one in the document. Perhaps staff can help me with that. But it's for a 2-year period, and I guess perhaps Mr. Arnold could help.
Yes, or Mr. Jones or Mr. Breen.
Oh, yeah. Or oh, whoever.
Mr. Yeah. Breen looks like he just...
Thank you.
Turn
Thank
on.
You.
Right. Hey, through you, Mayor. Yeah, look, essentially the policy is designed to have continue having bad debts over 5,000 approved by council, so they will come to council in a report. But the suggestion is that bad debts of a minor nature up to $100, the general manager has the authority to be able to write those debts off. And generally, we tend to have a number of just small minor that's associated with perhaps some interest or generally something of fairly minor nature, and that's the reason for that particular exemption.
Thank you, Mr. Breen. Councillor Fox?
I've finished my contribution, really. I'm just recommending the motion.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers? Councillor Watts.
Thank you, Mayor. In the policy, what has been deleted is the outstanding sundry debts at 30 days, 60 days, 90 days and exceeding 90 days. That was a policy that council had done some time ago to ensure that those actions may well prevent someone going through to 90 days. I'm just wondering what the proposed actions are going to be, whether Mr. Breen's got any ideas on that for me.
I think if you look at points 4.1 through to 4.3, that explains it. It was the council staff were of the opinion that it was the former policy was overly prescriptive and that it needed to be simplified a bit in order to reflect the changing circumstances that we've been in and that individuals have been in with COVID, and that rather than just having monthly interactions, there will be a move now towards email and text messages as a follow-up to people who have debts outstanding to council, because that can be done at little cost compared to sending out a formal letter by mail. But I'm happy if Mr. Breen would like to provide any further explanation.
Yes, through you, Mayor. I think essentially you've summarised it pretty well there. The new technology we have now, the ability for emails and text messages, allows us to be a bit more proactive in this space. And we're finding that waiting for 30 days does not always get a quick response. So essentially we've gone down that particular track. And also we found that, I guess, during the COVID period, and I guess we're still in that, we needed a bit more flexibility. So the aim of making those changes to the policy was just to allow more flexibility and council to move a bit quicker.
Thank you, Mr. Breen. And Mayor, if I can ask one more question.
Yes, certainly.
In relation to bad debts exceeding $5,000, it will be referred to council for a decision. I'm just wondering at what stage that will be referred to council. Is that at 90 days or is that 90 days plus some other time that other works are done?
Mr. Breen.
Yeah, generally it'll be up around that 90-day mark. We've gone through a pretty extensive process in terms of trying to collect the debt. We may even outsource it to external suppliers to let them have a go at the collection of the debt. But generally, once it gets to 90 days, it's pretty well confirmed that the debt will be we will struggle to collect that debt, and that's when it will come to council.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any further contributions? Councillor Fox, did you want to sum up? Thank you. I'll put the motion as moved by Councillor Fox, seconded by Councillor Bastone, that the policy, the sundry debt management policy, as printed in the agenda, be endorsed. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. We turn now to page 1. The rate rebate for conservation covenant policy with a recommendation on page 32. Do I have a mover and a seconder for that, please? People are very hesitant to move things now that we're online. Thank you, Councillor Bastone. And a seconder, Councillor Fox. Councillor Bastone.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor. I'm delighted to move this after going and looking at what people are doing conserving their land. This is a small amount of money that we are providing towards what they're doing. And for when we look at what we were originally paying in 2003, the maximum rebate then was $500 in 2022-23. It's really not going up very much, and it's up to $750 as a maximum. Where it's recommended that these rebates are reviewed every 4 to 6 years as part of the policy review. But I think when we look at it, if we keep it at approximately CPI, I think we're doing a good thing considering that our rates are going to be held to CPI as well.
Thank you, Councillor Bestone. Councillor Fox?
I have a question in that the document does say that the applying the CPI indexation annually to the original rebate amounts has resulted in the following rates being recommended, but it only stops at 22-23, and it doesn't say in anywhere in the document that it will be that the CPI will be applied in 23-24. Just wondering if that's automatic or whether we should actually include that in the motion.
Who could help us out with this one? Mr. Breen?
Yes, through you, Mayor. Essentially, the aim of the policy is to provide a set fee for the conservation covenants, but to review that fee in line with CPI movements every, say, 4 to 6 years. So then you know, the expectations of $7.50 will be going to something like $8. And it's really just, more of a rounding type exercise. So every time we review the policy, we'll have a look at the movement in the CPI and determine whether we've gone to the next step. So that's the aim of the policy as it currently stands.
Thank you, Mr. Breen. Councillor Fox, do you have any further questions?
Well, it makes me think that we won't be reviewing it for 6 years and it'll be staying at this rate for 6 years, or do you? Am I muted?
Mr. Breen?
Through you, Mayor. Look, essentially, the policy will be reviewed every 2 years, so it will come to Council every 2 years. The idea is that perhaps after the first two-year period, we wouldn't change the rates, but after the second two-year period, after year four, we'd be certainly looking to see where CPI had moved those values to and look at changing the rates potentially at that time. And the idea was perhaps going 50-cent escalation. So it might be that the rebate per hectare becomes $8 and whatever the equivalent minimum and maximum rebate would be at that point in time. So it's just not an automatic move, but it'll be something that we would bring forward to Council.
Thank you for that explanation.
Thank you. Are there any further contributions? I just wanted to, just before I put it to the vote, I just wanted to echo Councillor Bestone's contribution because there are a number of us, Councillor Fox and Councillor Cordova and Councillor Bestone and myself, who visited a property down in... say Woodbridge, where were we? No, we weren't. Tinderbox. Sorry.
Oyster Cove. I was there yesterday.
Last year, it's already happened. In Oyster Cove, that was the subject of a conservation covenant, and we had a walk around the property and was able to look at some of the work that's actually gone on to preserve that area and some of its... natural attributes, and as Councillor Cordova reminded us, we got to see a Triceratops orchid, which was something that I didn't even know existed, and I don't know why you would actually name an orchid after a dinosaur, but anyway, but I think that was a celebration of the Kimber Environmental Fund and a really good example of how the conservation covenants are working as they should be, and when there are incidences where developments can't replace on site high or very high conservation value trees, that the money goes into that fund and then it goes towards some of these covenants and the works under these funds. So, Councillor Bastone, would you like to sum up? No, thank you very much. That's the case. I will put the motion as indicated on page 32, that the Council Policy 3.9 rate rebate for conservation covenant policy be adopted for a further 2 years. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you. We move now to page 36, the Kingborough Community Safety Committee, minutes of the 6th of December 2021, with a recommendation on page 37. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Councillor Gladewright, thank you. And a seconder, Councillor Bastone. Councillor Gladewright.
I'm happy to move this one. The purpose of this report is to present the minutes from the meeting that was held on the 6th of December and to present a motion adopted by the committee. Do you want me to read that motion or is it just as printed?
No, if you could read that motion, that would be terrific.
Okay, the motion that the committee adopted was that that the committee requests council lobby the state government for construction of a new Kingston police station to properly support potential future approval of 24-hour policing in Kingborough. So, yeah, there's not much more I really need to say, I think.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
Thank you, Mayor. I've got a question. In the actual minutes of this meeting, there is reference to a letter which was received by the committee on page 41 under item 5 correspondence. The letter was shared by the committee, but it was written to yourself, Mayor, and I was wondering if councillors could be privy to that letter, because I would like to know what the minister's comments would have been.
Sure. Beg your pardon. I thought that had been circulated.
No, it hasn't.
Sorry. I'll get that circulated. Essentially, Minister Patrice indicated that there was not the capacity at the moment for the Kingston Police Station to go to a 24-hour staffing model. My understanding is that one of the significant reasons behind that, there's a number of them, but the main one is that in order to support a 24-hour station, you need to have around, I believe it's about 45 police officers. There are currently 25, I believe, and I'm just taking these figures off the top of my head. I'm just looking for my notes. So there's around 26
I had in my head, but again, that's the top of my
head. Yeah, so... So we fall short because of the rostering needs. In order to support a 24-hour station, you need significantly more staff than you would anticipate. So there needs to be significant growth in the number of police stationed at Kingston before such time as we could move to a 24-hour station. Therein lies the problem, which is at the heart of the motion, and that is that there is not sufficient capacity to have that many police officers located at the existing premises at Kingston, and there is no way that that building can move out to accommodate that and have the sufficient space. However, having said that, Minister Patrice did indicate that there would be two additional police officers stationed at Kingston Police Station from this year. But I haven't got an exact, I don't think from memory in the letter that she indicated an exact starting date. I'm not sure if it's the start of the, whether it's in the financial, beginning of the financial year or from the start of the year, but we will benefit from, our lobbying has resulted in two additional staff members, police officers, being allocated to Kingston at this stage.
Thank you, Mayor. I'm wondering whether we should be supporting this motion in that regard, because are we wasting our time lobbying for something that is obviously unachievable and is not timely? And what sort of lobbying are we expecting to do if we do want to lobby?
Well, I wasn't unfortunately at the December Kimberley Community Safety Committee meeting, so I don't know if anybody. I think Councillor Gladewright, were you at the meeting? You might be able to perhaps provide us some further information. And Councillor Bastone, were you at the meeting as well? No, okay. Councillor Gladewright, could you perhaps just provide some background as to what the expectation of the committee was?
Yeah, so the expectation was focusing on the premise rather than the amount of police officers. So it was in response to the motion that I'd previously put to council lobbying for the 24-hour police presence. And what they were discussing at the committee meeting was more to do with the actual physical building that they have there and whether that needs to change location and be upgraded and improved and expanded in order to allow for the 24-hour police presence. So I think the focus of their motion here was the actual building that houses the police currently.
Thank you. Councillor Fox, does that assist you in your deliberations?
I'll be interested to hear what others have to say, but I'm feeling a bit reluctant to lobby for something that I think is going to get nowhere.
Thank you, Councillor Fox. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to move to an amendment to strike Clause B, so that the new recommendation would just be that we note the minutes of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee.
Do I have a seconder for that amendment? I don't know whether everyone's frozen, or it's hard to tell whether everyone's frozen or whether they just don't want to second the amendment. If anyone would like to second the amendment, could you please raise your physical hand? Councillor Fox, seconding the amendment. Thank you. Councillor Cordova on the amendment.
Thank you, Mayor. Our council's strategic plan says that we'll encourage and support a safe, healthy and connected community. So that's the strategic reference here. I am really unclear about how this particular lobbying request, how it helps or what it's seeking to fix. So I know that we've talked in September about this 24-hour policing. Despite there being no correlation that I'm aware of between the number of police or the number of police stations and crime. So, for example, Glenorchy or Gagebrook may have more police, but they may have more crime. So I voted against that because what I was saying in September was, what is the problem that we're trying to fix? Is it emergency management? In which case, let's ask for specific emergency management preparedness. Is it domestic violence prevention? If it is, let's ask for investment in DV prevention. Is it youth justice? Then ask for investment in diversion. Is it traffic offences? Then let's ask for money for safer roads and better education. But anyway, in September, that initial 24-hour policing passed anyway because I assume tough on crime. You know, that's the idea here. Not smart on crime, but tough on crime. And I think that by asking for something that doesn't have any evidence, I don't think that that's setting us in the right direction. We know that in Norway, for example, as I said last time, they imprison – here in Tasmania, we imprison people at a rate three times higher than Norway, not because there's something in the water here in Tasmania that makes people more crime-prone, just because we have different methods of dealing with community safety. And we don't look at the social determinants of crime in the same way that they do in Norway. So to look at this motion here, which is to try and get a new police station in Kingston without providing us any evidence as to why that's a good idea, I looked at the Tasmania Police website, which says that they operate under four key service delivery areas, which are public safety, that is for the community to feel and to be safe, crime, that is to reduce crime, traffic policing, that is to improve driver behaviour through traffic law enforcement, and emergency management, which is to contribute to community resilience through effective security and emergency management. Now, this recommended motion is not at all clear about which aspects of that police objective having a new police station fits into. Have the police been asking for it? Why would we presume to know better than the police do themselves about what appropriate resourcing should be allocated? Is this about crime prevention? Is this about traffic management? Is this about the generalised feeling of being safe? I think we need to know before we start advocating for that money to be spent. We do know that after 7 years of this kind of tough-on-crime agenda, these sorts of policies are now well known to have been ineffective. How do I know this? Because we've got higher rates of imprisonment now than we did those years ago. We've got higher rates of recidivism now, both in the adult and among young people. We also have higher costs now than we did before. So just building new police stations does not result in less crime, eased traffic, or better emergency management. It does not result necessarily in better community safety. It might result in more speeding tickets and more car registration checks, but more police stations is not a panacea. It may not even be money well spent. I don't know that evidence, but somebody does. Someone ought to find out, and this council should consider that evidence in a workshop before supporting such a request. If this council wants to lower crime rates, then it should follow the examples of places where this has worked before. And that's why at the next council meeting, I'll be moving some lobbying requests that actually are supported by evidence. Those are an urgent care centre for the south of the state, an ambulance station for the channel, investments in crisis accommodation and supports for women who are fleeing domestic violence.
Councillor Street on a point of order.
We've drifted away from the motion into things that Councillor Cordova will be moving at a following council meeting. I think even he'd accept that that's away from the motion in question.
Thank you. I'll uphold that point of order. Councillor Cordova, I believe your time is pretty expiring in any event. So if you could stick to the amendment, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I will finish just by saying that this particular amendment asking for a new police station is not with evidence. It's not supported by evidence, and that's why I won't be supporting it. But what I do think we as councillors should support is policies that are smart on crime, smart on traffic management, smart on emergency preparedness, and smart on community safety, rather than just beating the same drum about tough on crime, because we know that tough on crime has failed, it's counterproductive, it's harmful and it's expensive, and it doesn't actually do anything to enhance community safety, which I think was the intention of this agenda item. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Further speakers on the motion? So I'll just make a brief contribution. Look, I can understand the intent behind this from the Community Safety Committee, because I think they're looking at it in that they understand that in order to have a 24-hour police station that there needs to be a larger physical building for additional number of police officers to be located in, and I think that that is a sentiment that they are putting forward to councillors on behalf of the community, and certainly in the social media that I look at and some of the articles that I read, there is a great deal of concern about when police officers aren't able to attend something in a timely way because they have to travel quite a distance to Kingborough. I would like to see us in the future have a model where we have a police, emergency services, ambulance and fire station all together. And in fact, Councillor Glagart and I have already had some discussions in relation to that and have identified some land where perhaps the fire station could go. And so things are starting to move in that regard. I think it would be great if the state government would actually take a forward look at this to see what could be achieved, and that if this isn't on the agenda now, that it would be great to raise it, to put it on the agenda for the future, so that if we are in a situation where we can identify some land and have a new fire station built with perhaps ambulance next door, that there is the capacity then in the future to add on to that with police, because it would make far better sense to be able to have an emergency services hub. So I don't believe that we should be rejecting this, removing this recommendation that the Community Safety Committee have put towards us. I would be more than happy to lobby the state government in relation to this, and perhaps would ask Councillor Bastone, as Chair of the Community Safety Committee, if she wanted to jointly assist in that lobbying effort by help. Perhaps we could write a joint letter to the Minister in relation to this. So I won't be supporting the amendment. The amendment. So is there anybody else would like to speak on the amendment? Councillor Gladewright?
Yes, I would like to speak on the amendment, just to say that this was never, I think, intended in response to crime in Kingborough. It was only ever intended to respond to our community, which is growing and in a state of growth, and we're just trying to keep up with that growth rather than responding to a crime rate necessarily.
Thank you, Councillor Gladewright. Any further speakers on the amendment? Welcome back, Councillor Grace. I'm sorry you're having technical issues. Just for your information, we are on the recommendation on page 37, which is the Kingborough Community Safety Committee minutes of their meeting of the 6th of December. There is a recommendation there. Councillor Cordova has moved an amendment, and his amendment is to remove part B of the recommendation, so that the recommendation remains just that Council notes the minutes of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee meeting. If there are no further speakers on the amendment, I will put the amendment. So all those in favour of Councillor Cordova's amendment, please.
Aye.
Is Councillors Fox and Cordova, those against the amendment?
No.
Aye. No.
No.
Okay, so against is Councillor Bathstone, Councillor Gladewright, Councillor Wass, Councillor Street and Councillor Grace. The amendment is lost. So we're now back on the substantive motion. Is there anybody who hasn't spoken on the substantive motion who would like to make a contribution? Councillor Wass.
Thank you, Mayor. The community have for several years indicated that it would like a 24-hour police station in this area. This area is the Southern District and takes in the Huon Valley and Bruny Island. I think by resolving to lobby the state government is a good way forward. However, I think when you're looking at dealing with someone to provide something, you also dangle a carrot. Whether the mover and seconder would like to, otherwise I'm happy to move an amendment. But we should have part C. The council will offer its assistance in identifying a suitable building locations. In other words, what I'm trying to say is we want construction of a new police station, but we will assist if we can and if they want us to identify a suitable location. We know, as was said a moment ago, that our population is increasing. We know that suitable locations for a police station now won't be the same in 6 months, won't be the same in 12 months. So unless they are to look at it very quickly, then unfortunately they might have to take second, third, fourth, eighth best place. And I think we are probably as well located as anyone else to assist them identify if they want our assistance. So I'm asking whether the mover and seconder might like to consider that, Mayor.
Thank you. So it was moved by Councillor Gladewright and seconded by Councillor Bastone. Councillor Gladewright, are you happy with that amendment?
Yes. Can you just read it out again one more time, please?
Council offers its assistance to identify suitable building location, in brackets, S location.
Sorry, what's in brackets?
The S.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that.
Councillor Bastone, are you happy with that?
Yes.
Thank you. So we will add that to the recommendation, so that becomes part C. Councillor Cordova, did you want to speak on that?
Just on the original motion, yeah, now that it's adopted this third thing, yes, I just want to give my substantial contribution, if that's okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. So I would like to note the minutes as in the clause A, notes the minutes of the Kingborough Community Safety Committee, and I would like to thank them for their work as well. That's almost a procedural motion in nature, which is why I moved that amendment. The reason why I can't vote for it is as I outlined in my speech about the amendment. But I think what is telling is that we've heard from the mover, from Councillor Glaidwright, exactly that the intention is not, in fact, to reduce crime. The intention is just to respond to population growth. And I think that makes my point in that we should be looking at things that actually have an evidence base to support community safety and well-being in light of population growth. And this is not one of those things. There has been no justification or reasoning beyond we're growing in population size. Well, if that is the case, if we are growing in population size, which of course we are, and we want to keep our community safe, which of course we do, then why are we asking for a new bricks and mortar police station when in fact the police haven't asked for it, when there are many things that we know that we do need that the stakeholders involved have asked for, like an ambulance station for the channel, for example, or an urgent care centre. You know, why Councillor Bastone has mentioned to me the SES. We need funding for SES volunteers and things like that. You know, there are things that we know that we actually need for a growing community, and yet I feel like we're doing this wild goose chase here, asking for a bricks and mortar building that is wholly without evidence. To say that we are a growing population and therefore we need a brand new police station is almost a non sequitur, unless you can say how it fits into the police objective, which, as I mentioned before, is those four things. It's traffic management, it's emergency management, it's crime reduction, and it's the feeling of safety in the community. I haven't really heard any argument for how it's going to make the community feel safer if we have a brand new bricks and mortar police station. If there's no evidence for that, then we shouldn't be pursuing it. There is a limited pool of money that the state government will give this council for initiatives within our municipality which will help enhance community safety and well-being. And it would behove us, we should be responsible to that, and the responsible thing to do would be to lobby for things that have an evidence base to support them, to support our growing community. So, of course, I feel very bad that I have to vote against this because, of course, I want to note the safety committee's minutes and I want to thank them for their good work. But this second clause about lobbying for a new bricks and mortar police station, I feel is completely counterproductive and won't enhance community safety. Let's bring some evidence into this debate. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordova. Does anybody else have a contribution they'd like to make? Councillor Glaidwright, did you want to sum up?
I can see Councillor Grace attempting to speak there.
Beg your pardon, Councillor Grace.
That's okay. I've got your hay fever, by the way. look, all good points. We've been through this many, many times. When I was on road safety, I can show you documents where we brought this up towards the committee, inspectors, our general managers, and including probably our general manager even now, is still saying the same. True. We did get a lot of extra police force in Kingborough, and that worked pretty well. But they're dwindled now, and I think that's probably the subject that we need, or the mayor needs to be talking to our inspector. And the road safety committee, when the inspector or his officer goes to that committee meeting, is to home in on that. But we certainly need, as Councillor Wasson and most councillors think, I think we haven't got CES down here. There's a lot of things we haven't got for such a growing municipality. So. There's plenty of ground. We've got plenty of land. That's not an issue. but it's a matter of where we locate everything. That's my two bobs worth. I mean, even youth council, to be quite frank with you, if we go back through documents some 5-6 years ago, it was one of the main topics that the youth council came up with.
Thank you, Councillor Gray.
And we're still talking about them today.
Thank you. I'm not so sure, though, that you're correct in the fact that we don't have a large amount of suitable land as council. There is a perception in the community that council owns a lot of land that could be built on. This is not correct. We have very limited parcels of land that would be suitable and in a location that would make it usable for a facility such as this. So just to make that clear. Councillor Glaidwright, do you want to sum up now?
Just very briefly, I think it's really important that we're lobbying for a whole range of things for our community, and that includes a 24-hour police presence along with lots of other things that have been mentioned tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Glaidwright. I'll put the motion. It's as amended, so we have three parts to it. I'm wondering if Mrs. Morton could please just momentarily put that up on the screen so that councillors are aware of the motion. So it is, reads now that Council notes the minutes of the Kimberley Community Safety Committee and resolves to lobby the State Government for construction of a new Kingston Police Station to properly support potential future approval of 24-hour policing in Kimberley. And then C, that Council will offer its assistance to identify a suitable building location or locations. I will put the motion. All those in favour?
Aye.
Okay, so
I'll support it because whatever we can do is all beneficial.
So just because you've all gone small now, so I'm just making sure I've got this correct. So it's supported by Councillor Bastone, Grace Street, Wasp, is that correct?
Yes. And me.
Adrite, yep. And myself. And those against?
Councillor Cordova.
Thank you very much. The motion is passed. We move now to financial report for December 2021 on page 45 with a recommendation on page 46. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Mover and Councillor Street, it looks like. I think he just moved there. Thank you, Councillor Street, and seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Street.
Tell you what, you can't move at all with this, can you? Look,
House auctioneer.
Yeah, I move the financial reports and open the floor for comment and questions.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. I was just trying to get my hand up. I'm interested in how the Van Mori Road safety improvements of $170,000, has that work now been completed? Is there any update on how that all went and whether there's more to be done with that $170,000 for Van Mori Road?
Mr. Reeve.
Through you, Mayor. No, those works are now completed and the grant that we received for it has been acquitted.
Thank you.
Are there further questions? Councillor Wass?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I've got one on page 68. That's the income for user fees. And I'm just wondering how we are so, our budget and our actuals are totally different in relation to the rental that we receive for the Telstra Tower. I mean, we've have a contract in place, and I'm just surprised that we, unless the rental has changed or there's been further actions that I'm not aware of.
Who could help us with this one? Mr. Breen?
Yeah, through you, Mayor. The only thing I can ascertain there is that the budget was incorrectly set at $1,500 because clearly it's a long way below the actual figure, but I will do a bit more work and confirm that.
Thank you. I know it's not a large amount, but I was just concerned that we we're well off the budget.
Thank you. Any further questions, Councillor Wolf?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Are there any further questions?
Just a question regarding Bruny Island Transfer Station.
What page are you on, Councillor Grace?
94. In the expenses.
Yep.
It says here we're at $105,000 plus 76 for the bins. Yet when it shows the income, there's not a lot of income coming in to that transfer station. It's been subsidised quite heavily, if I understand, by just what I've been looking at in a few days. Is it something that we need as councillors to sit and look at, as you mentioned, and I think you raised tonight that I wanted to bring something up in closed session about a contract. You know, we just need to be mindful on those things because the gates are not opening the days they used to be.
Mr. Reeve, can you assist us with this question?
Through you, Mayor. Certainly the waste transfer station does run at a loss there, but bearing in mind that I guess the tunes of distance in terms of where Bruny Island's actually located there, the fact that it does need some sort of service to actually allow for the garbage and so forth to actually and recycling to actually go to, it's probably one of those necessary installations that we have in place. We do not have it open every day of the week, as you'd be aware, and we do review our services on a regular basis there in terms of, you know, what we need to actually supply there. But unfortunately, it is probably one of those necessities, and there is a few of them that we have, that we still have to actually maintain.
I understand that, but I guess it's something, Mayor, prior to now and the next election, it's something that councillors should sit down and have a good look at with the isolation of Bruny and the mainland, and is there better ways? And I think I'm going to talk about that later in closed session on an item, but it's something that the people on Bruny have been telling us, and it's something I guess that we possibly need as councillors, I suppose, sit down, have a workshop, open workshop, maybe talk to Bruny Island people and see whether there's a better and cheaper way to manage their waste. Obviously, Mr. Rees is right. At the end of the day, I guess, some of it will have to come this side of the island, but there may be a chance that we can still landfill somewhere on the island, which is worth investigating. For the huge cost that it's costing us for such a few people, we can't get that down Middleton or Woodbridge, and look at Councillor Bastone smile.
Mr. Reeve, did you have any further comment to make on that?
Through you, Mayor. Look, not too much from what I've actually said before, apart from the fact that it's a waste transfer station for a very good reason, in the fact that landfills have fairly high regulations associated with them, and it's not just a question of finding a spot on Bruny Island there where we can, if you like, dump some garbage and so forth. So it's a little bit more complicated than that. So pretty much, if you like, the reason we have the station set up there is as a holding point to a large degree for not only the residents there, but for, you know, the the hundreds and hundreds of tourists that also go over there as well at the same time, all our public place bins as well. So there is a reason behind actually having a station there. It's just unfortunate that, you know, that you haven't got the volumes and the abilities to actually make it closer to break even.
Well, just final question, and that'll be the final one, Mr. Rees. Maybe you give us a comparison of when it was done by contract and council ceased that contract and put KWS in, how much has that contract increased in that time?
Mr. Reeve?
Look, I don't have the figures in front of me at the moment there, but I do know that for the contract there, there's a couple of things we look at, and that's the same for all contracts there. One is that we're looking for a quality of service there, which is important. And the second thing is we look for the value for money for council at the same time. So when that was looked at, and this goes back quite a few years, it was clear that we were going to get the better value for money for council with the option that we actually took up.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Councillor Cordover, I can see you've got your hand up.
Thank you, Mayor. My question, there's two questions, but the first part of this question is I'm looking at page 92 under transport dead animal recovery. It's 15,948 so far. My question is, do we have a sense of over 10 years, is this going up dramatically, is it going down dramatically, or is it staying about stable over 10 years?
I'm not sure who would be the right person to answer this. Mr. Reeve looked like he was going to have a go then.
Through you, Mayor. Look, it's a difficult one to actually give you that answer over 10 years, but I guess certainly in my time here, because this would be one of the ones that we do look at on a regular basis there, it has remained relatively stable. Now, obviously, there's different locations where you have different problems from time to time, but generally in terms of the overall expenditure there, it's stayed relatively stable.
Thank you, Mayor. And I guess my second question, which I will just elide into my contribution, I think, is I'm willing to wager that it's probably over 10 years, 10 times 16,000. It's probably 160 grand and is probably hotspots, which we can readily identify with a little bit of attention paid. So when we talk about value for money, I think having acoustic barriers and signage and devil-proof fencing in those hotspot areas will end up saving council probably 160 grand over 10 years. But importantly, what is the cost to private citizens of constantly their insurance premiums, their damage to their car, and of course, in terms of animal rights, like what are we doing? You know, we are basically the roadkill hotspot of the nation. So I think we should really actually look into that and see what cost savings in terms of value for money. We're paying $16,000 year in, year out, forever, when in fact if we looked at those hotspots and invested appropriately in preventing roadkill, we would actually end up saving a lot of money. So can I hear if that's a reasonable suggestion, and if we do in fact know that there's hotspots, is my assumption correct that we could save money by actually nipping it in the bud now?
I think I'll go to Mr. Reeve, but I got from what he was saying earlier that the hotspots tend to change and shift. But Mr. Reeve, no?
Through you, Mayor. Look, that's right. And in terms of, I guess, the comment there that, you know, there's a amount of money that we put aside each year there, I suppose you've got to look at the topography of the municipality we actually live in there, but I certainly know from working in a previous council there, which had a lesser rural component to its topography there, they also had, you know, budget amounts there that were very similar to that. So it's not that unusual for councils to actually be spending that amount of money on this particular service. I guess the other aspect of it there is, yes, it can be quite difficult there because it's not always in the one location. If it was all in the one location, that would make it very easy for us. But occasionally what you'll find is you'll see there's a lot of wildlife kill that happens over one of those nice summery nights type of thing there in one particular location. You might not see that happen again for the next 2 to 3 years in that particular location. We do have a set of wildlife guidelines that sits on our internet there, which we developed just for this particular reason there, because we quite often get people who will actually request things like wildlife signs and various other things to be put in place there. They aren't always the most effective thing to actually use, and that's the reason why we've got those guidelines. The guidelines are based on some national practices there, so it's worthwhile having a look at those as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reeve. Are there any further questions? Councillor Bastone.
Thank you. I have a question which will be to Mr. Reeve. On page 92, in rural culvert cleaning and rural culvert maintenance, we allowed no money in our budget for these two things, which are fairly important when you live rurally. And I'm just wondering if Mr. Reeve can explain why there was no allowance put in the budget.
Mr. Reeve.
Three, now I'm not quite sure exactly what page you're actually on there, but what I can say, without even looking at that there, is we certainly do have a fair bit of money and quite a bit of work that we actually do on rural culverts and rural drains. I would say that this year's been a fairly challenging year. We've had record amounts of rainfall. I would also say that we have definitely have set some service levels which we thought were reasonable in terms of actually managing our drainage systems. But, of course, when you get these particular types of years there, you can bet your bottom dollar there. That is the time when people notice the lack in any sort of systems there. It would certainly be my intention to provide, I guess, some options back to council going forward in terms of how much money, how much effort they would like to see in that particular area there, because when we get these particular years there, this is when it does tend to cause a lot of angst for people there. So I guess in answering your question, yes, we do work in that area, and yes, we will be bringing something back to council in terms of some options and some appetite for actually doing additional work in that area.
Thank you. My real worry is that it's actually we have no money in our budget. We have no year-to-date. We have no budget, no nothing allocated to it in the whole of the finances. And that's what worries me, that it was not thought of as being important when we actually did the budget. And I'm just wondering, in the rural areas, we still pay the stormwater charges that everybody else pays, but in fact we're getting nothing for our stormwater money.
Through you, Mayor. Look, I think the way you're getting confused there is as I mentioned there, just because it's not got a specific budget line item that actually lists it as that doesn't mean that we actually don't do that. We're just using one of the other rural budgets for that particular one to actually do it.
I might be able to assist here. If you actually go back a page, Councillor Bastone, to page 91 under stormwater, there is a budget allocation of of $101,000 for rural culvert cleaning and $175,500 for rural culvert maintenance.
Yes, but my worry was why do we have it in two places and one of them just shows nothing? Anyway, it doesn't matter. I know Mr. Reeve is on it, and somebody very kindly came out and cut the grass on our road today, so I must thank him for organising some of our area to be cleaned up.
Yes, I did that personally.
He did. He was leaving the office. I saw him earlier. Thank you, Councillor Bastone. Are there any further contributions?
Mayor, I had one before I was disconnected, which was a question without notice.
Okay, we're on the financial report at the moment.
I'm just wondering.
Yes. What we might do is before we moved into closed session, we've dealt with the notices of motion, then we will come back to that question, because I did indicate on the tape that we'd lost you and we would go backwards when we were able to. So if we could just finish the financial report for December 2021. It was moved by Councillor Street, and my apologies, I didn't write down who seconded it. Could you tell me who seconded the motion?
Councillor Gray.
Councillor Grace.
Thank you. Seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Street, did you want to sum up? Thank you. So I'll put the motion. It is as printed on page 46 of the agenda, that the financial report for December 2021 be noted. Moved by Councillor Street, seconded by Councillor Grace. All those in favour?
Yeah.
Aye.
Yep. Against? Motion is carried unanimously. Thank you very much. We turn now to page 105. There is a motion that was submitted by Councillor Glade-Wright. She has indicated to me in an email earlier today that she would like to withdraw that motion for some further discussions with staff involved for bringing that back. So we move to page 107. Sports ground user fees. It's a motion by Councillor Glade-Wright with an officer's response from Mr. Arnold. Councillor Glade-Wright. And do I have a seconder?
I'll second it for discussion.
Thank you very much. Councillor Glade-Wright.
Thank you. So this motion is asking staff to report back. They previously provided a report around user fees, and I'm just asking for an updated report at this point in time.
Thank you very much. Any further contributions? Councillor Bastone, is that your hand up, or just so I can see your pin? Okay, sorry. I just wanted to check. All right. If there are no further contributions, we don't need a sum up, so I will put the motion as moved by Councillor Glade-Wright, seconded by Councillor Grace. And the motion is that Council request a staff report be provided which reviews the current Council policies regarding charges for the use of sporting grounds and facilities within the Kingborough area. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Those against, motion is carried unanimously. We turn now still to page 107. It is a notice of motion from Councillor Glade-Wright with an officer's response from Mr. Arnold in relation to turf wicket.
I would second that.
Moved by Councillor Glade-Wright and seconded by Councillor Grace. Councillor Glade-Wright.
Thank you. The recommendation here is that Council agrees not to proceed with the installation of a turf wicket in the AFL ground at the Twin Ovals as proposed in the Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan until the recurrent maintenance costs are put through the Council budget process first and tested against other competing priorities. So we had last week our a budget review workshop. We heard that there's probably only around $50,000 worth of surplus money that we can use on our wish list. I feel like there are a lot of competing priorities, culverts, mowing, those types of things. There's also our staff who are working on their enterprise agreement. We're trying to get good quality planners. We're trying to get an engagement officer. We've also need to be looking at the future impacts of COVID. I know at the budget workshop we had an item there for resources to develop a policy and procedures to manage the transition to remote working in response to COVID. There are lots of other things on that list, like an integrated transport strategy. Anyway, my point is there seems to be a lot of priorities at the moment, and we don't have a lot of extra money to spend on things. So when the recurrent costs of the second turf wicket is going to be around $30,000 to $50,000 a year, I feel like we really need to make sure that we're testing our budget and holding that up against these other competing priorities. So I really understand historically there's quite an emotional argument around cricket and AFL and does it go in and doesn't. I'm really asking councillors not to think about the emotional side of that, the history in those arguments, and all this motion is asking for is that we hold that recurrent cost up against our other competing priorities before we agree to go ahead with it.
Thank you, Councillor Glaidright. Councillor Street.
Thank you, Mayor. Fully accept most of what Councillor Glaidright is saying. I suppose my major issue with the motion as it stands is that I actually think that it's redundant, in that those maintenance costs will have to be considered as part of the budget process in any event. And I do think that, I mean, some of the language that's used in the motion itself does presuppose an outcome which could be seen as potentially actually subverting the budget process. So while what Councillor Glaidright has said I think is right in that those maintenance costs do need to be considered during the budget process, we've had a position on council already through the future directions plan, and I think that this motion could actually have easily been worded that we support it subject to it going through the council budget process, which is exactly the position that we're in already. So I suppose from that perspective, I don't really understand the need for this motion, and that's why I would vote against it, because I don't want to presuppose a budget decision. And I don't want to presuppose those budget considerations for anything, not this, not anything that might be occurring during that budget negotiation session. So I agree, take the emotion out of it completely. It does need to go to a budget session, but that's what's going to happen regardless, and that's what happens with everything that council does. So I don't see the need to have a separate motion on the books for that to occur. When, like I say, the motion could easily have been worded the other way and achieved the same outcome, which I would suggest is the position without the motion anyway.
Thank you, Councillor Street. Further speakers? Councillor Grace, could you move your camera around? Because all we can see is your shoulder.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, I find nothing wrong with the motion. I believe that we shouldn't be putting the second turf wicket on that oval. That's my personal and strong belief. We built two ovals, one for cricket and one for football. Councillor Street, I'm not sure what your applying to, but I take it that you think at the moment we're not spending any money on maintenance of the football ground. Have I got that wrong? Because the motion says that if the additional wicket goes in, it's going to cost another $30,000 or $50,000 on top of what we're paying now to mow that oval. Is that correct or incorrect? Councillors, can I ask councillors?
Yes, you can.
What do you
think? Look, I don't know where that number has come from, Councillor Grace. That's simply the number that Councillor Glaidright put in her motion.
That's fine, okay, because I don't know. But what I would like to see is that we, and it doesn't say in Councillor Godover's remarks, even though I seconded, I believe that council made a decision, so therefore a motion would have to be put forward to council at some time to rescind that motion of the wicket. I thought it was in the long-term plan to when Mayor Winter was in the chair that we council, not all, but council did decide to have a second wicket there. Can you remember that, you councillors?
I'll ask the general manager if he can provide a clarification on that, please. General manager.
Thank you, Mayor. On Councillor Grayson's point about requiring a rescission motion, I don't believe that's the case. The decision of Council back in February 2020 was to endorse the Kingborough Sports Precinct Future Directions Plan. This notice of motion is not at odds with that position.
Okay, I understand that. Thanks, General Manager, but I guess there's nothing stopping Council in its wisdom tomorrow. If they decided to put the wicket in, they could go ahead under the previous arrangements.
Councillor Grace, that's why Councillor Gladewright has those first words in the motion, that we not proceed as proposed until the costs are considered as part of the budget review. So what she's suggesting is pausing any intention to install the turf wicket at this point in time.
Thank you, and that's what I wanted to make quite clear, Mayor, that's what I believe should happen anyway.
Thank you. Further speakers? Councillor Street, you've got your hand up again, but I suspect that's an error. Yep, Councillor Cordova.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a question, not a contribution as yet. My question is about, I realise that Mr. Wade isn't on the call, but my understanding is that there was quite a clear position put forward by Mr. Wade about this. Can I hear from a council officer about what the... I realise there's been decisions of councillors. I realise that we all endorsed the future directions plan for the sports precinct, which included, well, not all of us, but that did include the turf wicket. But can I just hear from council officers what the council officer thoughts are around this issue?
Can you be a bit more specific when you say thoughts around this issue as a general question? Did you want to know whether there is a decision on the books to install it or...?
Yes, and also does Mr. Wade think it's a good idea? Does Mr. Wade think that this motion is a good idea is really what I want to hear, but I realise Mr. Wade's not on the call. But do council officers think that this motion is a good idea?
So I don't know that. It's kind of like we used to say in the House of Assembly that that's seeking an opinion. And I'm not sure that that's appropriate. Mr. Arnold, would you like to provide some advice?
Thank you, Mayor. I think you've just answered Councillor Cordova adequately.
Thank you. Thank you. I will make my contribution then, Mayor. And I think Councillor Street made an interesting point there that by presupposing a budget decision, this motion actually presupposes to not make a budget decision, which is an interesting way of doing it. It's actually just ruling out making a budget decision. I don't think that that's necessarily that prudent. You know, it's interesting to say we should take the emotion out of it. It's like saying we should take the politics out of it. This is an inherently political moment here that we've dealt with. We've actually relitigated it a number of times between 2020 and now. I've had many a discussion with all the stakeholders involved, and I think the council around the table has actually discussed it many times and come to a number of decisions. I feel like I'm happy to take emotion out of it, but I think it would be... We just have to look at the reality that this is a controversial decision that was made, and the reason why it was controversial is that there are some competing interests among the sports organisations that operate within the precinct. There's 33 of them. They all deserve a fair go, and they all deserve the support of council. I think we do have a budget process which I'm happy to follow along with, and so I think I'm going to take the quite unusual step of agreeing with Councillor Street on this one. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Are there any further speakers? If not, I just wanted to say a couple of words about this. I thank Councillor Gladewright for bringing this motion. I think that I would go so far to say is that there has been perhaps a gap in our processes where my understanding, when we ticked off the future precinct plan early in 2020, that we weren't specifically committing within that to any to going ahead with particular projects. I don't know how we actually got to the point where we did. I think there's a very long history with this, and I think that the workshop that we had in November last year between the parties was valuable in terms of understanding all of the issues and providing some clarification around some of the costs involved as well. And we've had a number of people who have emailed us, both stakeholders, but also, interestingly, some other people who have got knowledge of turf maintenance and of the Twin Ovals have provided some information that I think can be valuable as well moving forward for us. So I support this motion because I think that we do need to get clarity around this. That will come with a fuller understanding of the ongoing financial implications, and then hopefully we can finally put this matter to rest and everybody can get on with their activities rather than focusing on this. So, Councillor Glaidwright, did you want to sum up?
Am I allowed to ask questions at this point?
No.
Okay.
Sorry. That's fine. I just wanted to give any new information.
That's okay, no trouble. I just wanted to respond to Councillor Street's comment that the 30 to 50,000 was just a figure that I popped in the motion. That's not actually true. That figure did arise out of that workshop that we had with the parties, and I remember asking the Mr. Smee at the time, and that was the figure that he came up with. I also just want to say that this really isn't trying to determine an outcome. That's exactly what I was aiming to do with this, was to actually put all of that aside and simply look at the process that we have as a council. So I don't know if I could have worded it any differently, but I really was intending not to have any preconceived idea about where this was going, and simply to just put it up against the process. So I guess that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Glaidwright. I will put the motion as printed on page 107 of the agenda. It was moved by Councillor Glaidwright and seconded by Councillor Grace. All those in favour?
Aye.
So in support is Councillors Fox, Bastone, Glaidwright, Wass, Grace and Reet. Against, Councillors Cordova and Street. The motion is carried. We now move into page 108, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. In accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence, tender assessment. There's two tender assessments. Moved by Councillor Bastone, seconded by...
The question without...
You want Councillor Grace to have you...
Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry.
Sorry, I was
in closed session. I beg your pardon. Councillor Grace, you had a further question without notice that you couldn't ask earlier because you dropped out. And could you turn your camera around again, please? I don't know. It's a wandering camera. Thank you. It keeps moving away. There you go. Thank you.
I'm trying to sell my house. thank you, Councillor Wass, for reminding councillors. Look, had a lot of complaints in the last few weeks about the state of the Snug Rivulet. The stink of it, I was down there Sunday. People rang me. There was children in the little creek there by the bridge, and the water was absolutely putrid. I don't know what tests are done there, how we can rectify it. There was a council. Backhoe came down Friday and spent a little bit of time down there, but certainly didn't resolve any of the problems. But my question is, Mayor, councillors, we need to ask for a plan because of, I guess, the climate change, the lack of water coming down that rivulet now. Who's taking the water? Because there used to be plenty of water come down that creek when I was a kid, but there's very little coming down there now. I'm wondering whether or not we could ask, even if we have to write to the government and ask for a grant, to have a study on that little Snug River right up to the falls.
Okay. Mr. Reeve, can you help us with that one? Are you the right person to answer that?
I'm not so sure that I'm the right person to actually answer the question there, but I do know that we do have some grant money for some study on that whole Snug area there in terms of the Snug Adaption Study, which Mr. Dool has some more information on. But certainly if it's a localised issue with the condition of the rivulet, that's one thing. If it's more of an ongoing thing, that's something else. So happy to pass on to Mr. Dool if he's there, if he's got any other information about it.
Oh, sorry, beg your pardon, Mr. Dool. I didn't see your little picture there, but you're with us. Do you have anything that you'd like to add? We can't hear you, Mr. Dool.
Madam Chair, I'm quite happy to meet Mr. Dool.
I think, yeah, I can see his picture is there and he's attempting. He's not muted, so but he can't. I'm assuming we... No, I can't see him shaking his head because it's just a picture. So we might just need to take that offline, if that's okay, Councillor Grace. Perhaps we could get Mr. Dool and yourself to have a chat about that.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. Apologies for missing that question. Over to page 108, confirmation of items to be dealt with in closed session. In accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, Council by absolute majority move into closed session to consider the following items: confirmation of minutes, applications for leave of absence and two tender assessments. Do I have a mover and a seconder, please? Moved to Councillor Gladewright, seconded Councillor Wass. Thank you. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Motion is carried unanimously. That brings us to the end of the open session of Council, which will now adjourn at 7:23 p.m. And I say thank you very much to councillors and to all the members of the and our staff and to members of the community who are with us this evening. Thank you for putting up with our few technological glitches along the way. Hopefully we will get better at this as time goes on, but we are in the hands of the technological towers around the place and our bandwidth and so on. So thank you very much for everyone's patience. And this now closes the open session. Good evening.